Several years ago, many years ago actually, I was hiking in New Mexico. And I was really excited about taking this particular hike because I was told I was going up the mountain that would have the best views of the valley that I was staying in and sweeping views of the mountains that surrounded it. So I eagerly trek up the hill. Sometime later, the trail just sort of seems to open up onto this rocky cliff ledge. And I stepped to the edge to take in the views, and I was underwhelmed. I was really disappointed. And I stood there looking down. I could see the whole mountain, the whole valley. I could see the mountains that surrounded it, but I was kind of asking myself, is this what all the hype was about? Is this it? And then I thought, well, maybe I've missed something. Maybe there's more to the trail. And so behind me are all these tall scrub brushes that are blocking my view, and I weave in and out for a while trying to find more of the trail, and everywhere I went seemed to be going downhill. So I returned to the cliff to sit down and adjust my attitude a little. Maybe I'm just not being optimistic. As I'm sitting there, another group of hikers come by, and they stand next to me for about a minute, and then they take off up a trail to my left that I had not seen. It was much less traveled and overgrown. It was clear that a lot of people hiked to this point and then just return. Few people seemed to go ahead. So I follow these guys because they know where they're going. And about 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, we're outside of all of these tall, scruffy trees that was blocking my view. And the view of the mountain then opens before me. I was barely a fourth of the way there. Many hours later, I would reach the top and enjoyed sweeping vistas of mountains beyond mountains and a beautiful view of the valley. And I remember hiking back down that day thinking to myself, you know, there's a sermon in that somewhere. I was 19. Over the past 26 years, I've thought of that story, I don't know, 2-3 times maybe. And this week, during my prayer time with the Lord, he reminded me of that story again. And then he spoke this directly to my spirit. He said, many of my children, many that attend this church, are having that kind of experience in their relationship with me. They've heard the great life that you can have with Christ. They've heard that a life walking with the Lord will be mind-blowing. They've heard others tell testimonies of the activity of God in their lives and miraculous things that have happened. They've heard some say that God speaks to them clearly, and they want that for themselves. So they've opened their hearts to me and accepted a relationship with me, and they've kind of hit a plateau. And some of them are looking around saying, this is nice, but is this it? I was expecting more. They look around and they're not sure where to go from here. And maybe that sounds a lot like you. Maybe you come to this church regularly and man, the worship fills you. And you can sense the presence of God here in those times of worship. And in his presence, he rearranges your priorities and brings peace back into your life. You leave here feeling full. But apart from this 2 hours on a Sunday morning, your life doesn't seem remarkably different. And maybe you're asking yourself, this is nice, but isn't there more? And then I sense God speaking again to my spirit, and he said, you know the way to more, to get deeper with me. You show them. Now, folks, your pastors are not at the top of the mountain. We are climbing this hill just like the rest of you. Some of us have perhaps had a little more experience and we're a little farther along the trail, and it's from that experience and what the scriptures say today that I want to share with you how to get deeper, how to push beyond the plateau that you feel like you're on, and how to experience God in deeper, more meaningful ways. Were you aware that God plays favorites? He does. God plays favorites. The scriptures tell us, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth that he may strengthen or strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. For the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking at the hearts of man to find hearts that are completely devoted to him. Why? So he can offer his strong support. How many of you want to be singled out by God for strong support? Me too. Another passage tells us that the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. That's 1 Peter 3:12. How many of you want your prayers heard by God? So what does it mean to have a heart that is fully devoted to God? What does that mean to have a heart that he recognizes as completely his? Well, think about human relationships that you know of that you think, gosh, that's a couple that has heart that are devoted to one another. I know when I think of that, I think of my great-grandparents, my mother's grandparents. I have a stack of love letters from my grandfather that he wrote to my grandmother, a stack. Now, he wasn't off at war. He had a bicycle shop in Dallas, Texas. He was home every night. And yet, at his shop during the day, he would pause to write her love letters years into their marriage. They had hearts devoted to one another. And you get this sense as you read those letters of, this is a man who just, he looked for ways to bless her, to make her happy. You could tell that he was willing to set aside his desires and put hers first because his biggest desire was to see the woman he loved happy. That's a heart devoted to each other. It's a heart that looks to set someone else up as priority in their lives. It's a heart that honors another through action, not just words, but actions and deeds. When I married Ryan, I made certain promises to him in our marriage vows. I promised that I would be faithful to him forever until death parted us. I promised that I would love, honor, and cherish him. Now, what does that mean? Well, in order to honor him and to cherish him, I need to show him that he's a priority to me. And part of that is keeping those vows that we made to one another. That shows that he's important to me because I'm gonna make sure that I keep those vows. I make sure that my words are encouraging and uplifting, that I'm building him. Now, when I need to call him out or vice versa, we do that with honor and respect. We don't let each other go down a road that makes us lesser, but we actually encourage each other to be better people. But we do that with honor and respect. It's the same with God. And I'll tell you, there are some rules that I follow that I haven't necessarily coveted in a ceremony to follow. Some of them, quite frankly, I don't really understand why we have the rule, but it's important to Ryan, and so I keep it. I'll give you an example. Ryan hates it when I roll my suitcase across the hardwood floors. Now, I'm not convinced that those little plastic wheels are going to scratch solid oak. But if it's important to Ryan, I make it important to me. Why? Because he's important to me, and I want him to feel important to me, right? Oh. Ryan has bought these beautiful rugs in our house, and Ryan likes it when I take my shoes off when I come inside. Now, if I've run out and realized that I forgot something inside and I need to run in with my shoes, I make sure that I go around all the rugs. It's like a game of hot lava, right? I jump over this one and I step around this one. Because if Ryan comes in and sees a shoe print on the rug, he's not going to feel very special or important to me. He's going to feel like I don't care what's important to him, right? Now, our relationship isn't about the rules. Our relationship is about the loving bond that we have together. But I realize, if I keep these rules, then it actually connects us in a more powerful way. He feels special to me, and I feel special to him when he goes out of his way to do things for me. Our relationship isn't about the rules, but the rules, obeying certain rules like our marriage covenant, enhances our relationship. It's the same with God. God has set certain standards and rules that he wants you to obey. And it's not because he has a complex and wants to be the boss. It's because these things are good for you. And it's good for the relationship. And when you obey, when you follow those rules, it actually strengthens the bond that you have with him. Now, the best part about it is anything God asks you to do is going to be for your good. Some things I ask of Ryan have nothing to do with what's good for Ryan. They're what I want. When we go on a road trip, I want Ryan to engage with me. I don't want him in his phone. But that's a pet peeve of mine. It really has nothing to do with what's best for Ryan. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. Everything God asks of you is for your good. So when you do those, it pleases him for that reason. So the first thing is that obedience strengthens your relationship with God. Jesus said in John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Now, does God love everyone? Of course he does. But Jesus seems to point out a special situation here, that there is a unique kind of love relationship that happens for those who obey his commandments. Again, this isn't a taskmaster who wants you to jump through hoops, but there's something about being obedient to what God has called us to that actually improves the relationship that we have with him. And in fact, here, God says that, Jesus says that he and God will actually come and make their home with you, manifest presence with you. God's presence is everywhere, right? But he's talking about something unique and different here, that he's going to come and make his home with you. In other words, he's going to manifest his presence in your life. You see what I'm saying? So if you feel like you're not seeing the activity of God in your life, or you don't sense his presence throughout your entire life, try obedience. It's a way that we honor God with our actions, and according to the scripture, he actually rewards us for that with his presence. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Therefore, you're good. Another thing that obedience will do for you is allow you to hear God more clearly. So the scriptures say in 2 Timothy that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So here, Paul tells Timothy that all scripture is breathed by God. It is God-inspired, and it is written for you because he wants you to know it. Also in Timothy, it says, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a worker, tested and tried, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Not a trick question. What is the word of truth? The Bible, the scripture. Yes, Jesus is the truth. The word of truth, scripture. And so Jesus is the word. So Timothy's who he's writing to, that it's important for you to study the word of God, to know it, to apply it into your life. Why? So that you can skillfully teach it and use it in daily life. Here is a command that you should read your Bible, that you should study scripture, that you should meditate on it and allow it to fill your life. Now, I'm going to give you an example of why this matters. I have a niece who was very, very close to my mother. She lived in the same town as my mother, and so they had an opportunity to connect on a daily basis, and my mom really poured into her in a discipleship way. Now, when my mother passed, my niece really struggled. And recently she told my sister, she said, I feel like my life is doomed because Ganny's not here to pray for me. You see, my mother prayed for those grandchildren, prayed over every aspect of their lives. From the time that they were infants, she would pray for their spouses. And throughout their lives, she would pray for the little boy that Sydney would one day marry and the man that he would become. And she prayed for the day that Sydney would leave home and go off to college and have to stand on her own. She prayed that God would keep her strong and founded in the scripture and in faith with him. She prayed for the day that Sydney would meet the man that she marries. She prayed for the children that she would have and that they would grow up to be godly people and that they would raise godly children. And now Sydney feels like, oh my gosh, I'm about to graduate and move out of the house, all this change in my life, and my prayer warrior isn't here to cover me in this. So I was praying for my niece, and God brought a verse to mind that I had read out of Revelations. It was Revelations 5:8, and also Revelations 8:4-5. And what these scriptures tell us is that God cherishes the prayers of his saints, that he actually holds them in golden bowls before his throne, and that in heaven you can smell the fragrant incense of the prayers of the saints that he holds there. That incense, that constant aroma, reminds him of the specifics of those prayers. So where are the prayers that my mother prayed over her granddaughter? They are right before God. And the day that my niece has her first child, the prayers prayed over that first child will be right there before the Lord. The day she marries, the struggle she has raising her own children, those prayers will be as fresh and new as the day my mother prayed them. Now, had I not been faithful to do what God had instructed me to do, read the Bible, then he would not have been able to bring those scriptures to mind. I would have missed out on a blessing, but more so, my niece would have struggled. She would not have known what God wanted to say to her. The ability, because I was faithful in reading the word, I was then able to bless others. I was able, it's actually something that has given me great faith because I know my mom prayed over a lot of my life, and it's really been encouragement to all of our family. I'll tell you this also, more than 50% of what I feel like God has spoken to me comes from Scripture. I mean, I would love it if I just had, you know, the red line and could just ask him all the questions, get the answer immediately. He didn't typically work that way with me. A lot of times what I'm praying over, I don't get the answer until I really spend some time reading the Word of God. And there are days, and I know some of you are saying, I read the Bible, and when I read it, I get nothing out of it. The day I read that verse in Revelations, it meant nothing to me. But sometime later, God was able to pull that up and say, remember what I said in Revelation? This is where it becomes important. So be diligent. Push through that Bible reading. It will matter. And those times will come when you think, gosh, I remember reading something about this. And God will remind you and speak that truth to you. So obedience will also allow you to hear God more clearly. Something else that obedience provides. Obedience brings blessing, brings the blessing of God's activity into your life. There is a verse in Luke chapter 5. And this is the story where Jesus meets Peter for the first time. And so Jesus is standing by a lakeshore, and he's teaching a group of people, and they're all sort of pressing in to hear him more clearly. And Jesus is kind of backing up. His ankles are now getting wet. And he looks over at Peter, who's sitting on his boat. He's cleaning nets. The guy's been working all night. Had one of the worst days of his working career. He's not caught a single thing. And Jesus steps into his boat and says, hey, would you mind pushing me out a little bit so I can better teach the people? Tired Peter, still working. Now he's got to work around the rabbi standing in his boat. But he says yes. He's obedient. And he pushes out a little bit. Now, others are blessed because Peter did this, right? They're able to better hear Jesus. And when Jesus' teaching is over, he then tells Peter, now push out a little further and throw your net out. And what was Peter doing? He was washing his nets. He was done for the day. He needs to go home and get some sleep because he's got to get back up and fish all night that next night. He had a lot of excuses for why he shouldn't obey. Peter's also a master fisherman. He knows this lake. And now a carpenter turned rabbi is going to tell him where the fish are. Pride could have easily gotten in the way. But Peter didn't allow that to happen. He said, "Rabbi, Master, we have fished all night and we've caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll throw out my net." He hauls in such a big catch of fish that he can't even handle it, and his nets start to break. He has to call for the boat of James and John to come help him bring in all of these fish. They start throwing fish into the boat. Both the boats start sinking. They are so full of fish. So did Peter's obedience bring blessing into his life? Absolutely. The guy was going home to tell his wife, "I got nothing to add to our savings account today." Now he's got more than he's ever caught. It's about to sink two boats. In fact, better than that, he doesn't even care about the fish anymore. He has seen a miracle from Almighty God that he actually leaves all this there and follows Jesus from that day forward. But you know who else it blessed? James and John. They did the same. Because of Peter's obedience, others saw God do miraculous things and followed him themselves, changed their lives forever. Do you think it changed the lives of some people who were just listening to Jesus on the shore teach, and all of a sudden they see this miracle? Oh my goodness. A simple act of Peter's obedience changed things for a lot of people. And so obeying God in small matters, like when he says, just do this one thing, just throw your net out, can bring, is an essential step to receiving the greatest blessings of God. Obeying God in small matters is an essential step to receiving the greatest blessings from God. Additionally, our obedience always benefits others. And finally, when we obey God, we are never disappointed. When we talk about obedience and obeying God, there's something about it that just sits wrong with us. And we feel like, nah, that guy's getting legalistic. This is about a relationship that I have with God, and he's a God of mercy, and he's a God of grace, and all of that is true. We're not talking about rules today. We're talking about relationship. And we're talking about deepening that relationship. And how do we push beyond what we have right here? I'd say if you feel like you struggle to hear the Word of God, to understand when you read the Bible, you guys have got to set your clocks an hour early and get here to Sunday school. Because I'm telling you, you have Sunday school teachers like Nicole and Pastor Jenny who do an outstanding job. We got a great worship team. We've got great teachers. We really do. And if you guys, if you feel like, man, I just don't know if I can commit to studying the Bible myself, but what I can do is get here 1 hour early on Sunday morning and have people who have studied all week spoon feed me until I can get on my own 2 feet, man, just do that. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in your life. When you start hearing more of the Word of God, and when someone like Nicole explains to you, when she reads the Scripture and then helps you understand what it means, it teaches you how to do the same. It's good. We're not talking about rules, are we? We're talking about a relationship. We're talking about the way that a human relationship is improved when I honor my husband through following certain rules. I'm not focused on the rules, I'm focused on the relationship. But through that, it improves our relationship. It improves our ability to hear God more clearly when we obey him. First of all, because what did he say? When we obey his commands, God loves us and comes to us, makes his home with us. It also said that when our hearts are devoted to him, when we're obedient because of that, he seeks us out. You don't even have to let him know what you're doing. He's looking for you. Eyes are going to and fro. You can't hide from that. He's going to find you, seek you out, and strongly support you. when your heart is devoted to Him. And finally, obedience brings the blessing of God's activity in your life. If you feel like you're not seeing God, where is this activity that I hear others talk about? Try obedience. It really will make a difference. Do it out of the love relationship, not out of making rules that you need to follow. Because quite frankly, if I did that to Ryan, if I followed rules and huffed and puffed every time I did it, he would not feel important to me. And it would actually be worse for our relationship. But when I follow those rules out of love and desiring to connect deeper, it actually improves the relationship. If you feel like you're on that plateau today, let me tell you, there is so much more. There is so much more. Every year that I climb, and I'd love to say I'm always climbing, but sometimes I drift off and wander in the bushes for a while, but God always works me back, sometimes gently, sometimes it hurts a little more, but He always brings me back, and I'm telling you, every year I climb, I am blown away at who He really is. I think I've got Him figured out. I think, oh, this is good. God is, oh, wait a minute. Oh, God is really good. No, wait a minute. And the farther I climb, I actually realize I realize how much I don't know about who He is and how awesome He is. And that's just the word that I want to share with you today and how He can change your life.
Good word. So as you're going through mountain ranges, you go up. As you go up, you really realize it's not a straight up thing. I mean, when you're driving through a mountain range, you go higher, but then you kind of go down. But then all of a sudden, when you get toward the top, you look at where you came from. You see, the enemy likes to beat you up because he's like, oh, you know, you're not going high as high as you were, but you're not where you were 5 years ago. Think about where you were 5 years ago. Now, when the devil tries to come condemn you, think, wait a minute. I know I'm not exactly where I need to go, but I am not where I was 5 years ago. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's just think. Father, we thank You. Your word says obedience is better than sacrifice. And we just want to obey You. But Lord, we want to do it for the right reasons, the right motives, not because there's rules, but because of that relationship that You chose first. You called us out by name and You grabbed our hand and You said, come with Me and let's journey this together. So pray for each person as we go forward and as we continue to learn more about Your love and about Your grace and about Your mercy. It loosens all of those rules and all of those things that hold us back, and it propels us forward to walk in freedom. And we can say, you know what? I may not be where I need to be, but I'm not where I was. I'm still going forward. And in Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen. Amen.